Blog Talk Radio.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique, and you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle it. You climb my wall, break down my door. I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for. I wanna get you out on the floor and dance until my feet are numb. And when you get close, it's like rubber in my bones. And by the look in your eyes, you're melting down into the danger zone. Hey, hey, people say you're wild and unpredictable.
Hello, we are going to play tonight, and I want to tell everyone welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. You are listening to 13-year-old Amelia Bloom from Australia. She was on our show last year. Amelia, that was her own song that she wrote and sang, Let's Play Radio. I just love it. It's so up, and it just gets everything moving in the right direction. And tonight, I want to tell everyone to begin with that I would love for you all to be where I am, which is San Francisco, California. It's absolutely beautiful here, kind of like living in Disneyland. I can't explain it any better than that. This is a very magical city, perhaps a bit more expensive than Disneyland, but certainly one of the most enchanting places I have ever had the privilege of being. And I'm going to give you a little bit of information about our guest tonight. We are extremely honored to have with us Miss Kate Clinton, who is a brilliant political humorist, blogger for the Huffington Post, the Progressive, and New York City Up and Out. One of the things that was said about Kate Clinton is that she has held the mirror reflecting every issue facing us for the past 25 years. We've laughed, cried, and been changed by Ms. Clinton, said Kate Kendall, executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Kate has written for the New York Times, the Women's Review of Books, The Advocate, The Progressive, among others. Kate also served as a writer on the Rosie O'Donnell Show, on Good Morning America, Nightline, Entertainment Tonight, Oxygen, Oprah Winfrey, MSNBC, CNN, and C-SPAN. She hosted In the Life and The World According to Us. And also Kate's one-woman show, Talking a Blue Streak, was broadcast on Here TV. Kate Clinton has worked through economic booms and busts, Disneyfication and Walt, I'm not going to pronounce that tonight, gay movements and 8 presidential inaugurations, and I just cannot wait to bring her up. We all need to laugh, and I figure that if we are laughing, we can't blow each other up. We just can't. Get all the leaders together, bring Kate Clinton in the room, and we won't have war. And I do hope I bring her up the first one. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Well, that's quite an introduction.
Well, thank you.
So is this your first time in San Francisco?
You know, it is, actually. I haven't been here that long, and it's quite an amazing city, as you know.
It's wonderful. That's great. I was just there a couple of weeks ago.
Did you perform live somewhere?
I did. The Kate Kendall that you read that lovely quote from is in charge of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and they had their big fundraising dinner, which I performed at a couple of weeks ago. And it was a great fundraiser, lots of people, lots of fun, and but they're, you know, they're pretty still much in shock from the Proposition 8 defeat or the passage of Proposition 8 and then the Supreme Court ruling that it, the, you know, the vote must stand. So they were, I felt like I was on a USO tour.
That's right. You know, you probably were, because we had Gloria Allred, the civil rights attorney, and, of course, that's what she's working on 24-7, and if she's on it, it'll get passed. Nothing stops her.
Don't mess, yeah. Where are you from originally?
Where am I from? You know, it's funny, because I've been so much around the world that I feel like I'm from, but originally Texas, and I bet you can hear that accent.
I can, and I was just in Texas.
Where?
I was in San Antonio.
Oh, my gosh. I had relatives there. Yeah.
So beautiful. It's too, it's like a city above ground and then those gorgeous canals.
Oh.
It's a gorgeous city.
It's a gorgeous city. It really is. If people out there around the world, this show is heard all over the world, and if they haven't been to San Antonio, Texas, it truly is gorgeous.
It is. I mean, I've heard of, you know, I actually was there once, but I don't know what happened. I never got to see the whole other city. It's just stunning. People are lovely. It's definitely a must-see. It's amazing.
Now, where are you located? Where do you live or call home, or is it a hotel room?
I have a lovely suitcase. No, I actually live in New York City.
Ah.
In Manhattan. And then I spend as much time as I can in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And I actually will be working in Provincetown July and August. And it's just, one.
So you're going to be doing a concert there? You're going to be putting on a performance?
I do a show there in Provincetown at a wonderful club called The Crown and Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do 4 shows a week. And then at the end of the summer, when it's really jumping, I do 5 shows a week.
Wow.
And they can find all about it on KateClinton.com.
KateClinton.com.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Did I put that? You know, we have a lot of things written on the page that is the description of tonight's show, but I'm trying to look. Yeah, we've got you. KateClinton.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got you there. So anyone that wants to know, we also have a couple of three of your books, I think, scrolling back and forth.
Yes, I have 3 books. My new book, I Told You So, just came out in this lovely month of June. And there's also an audio book, which is me. It's an abridged reading of some of my favorite essays from the book. And it's put out by Beacon Press. And I've been taking it around and doing readings, and it's going very well.
Well, Kate, I would love to know, were you raised in New York City or?
No, I was raised in upstate New York, and I was born in Buffalo, New York, and raised in Syracuse, so I know all about snow.
I bet you do.
but when I was growing up in New York, upstate New York, you know, New York City was in bankruptcy, and everybody from upstate always said, oh, they should take Manhattan and drag it out to sea and sink it. So when I left home, I moved to Boston. But finally, about 15 years ago, I moved here to New York, and I just love it. I'm a small-town girl, but I've made my neighborhood into my tiny village.
Your little village.
Yeah.
Everybody that goes there, you know, everybody loves New York. There was a time when nobody would even go near the place. Now it's like a love affair. People are nuts about the place.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's pretty, it's expensive, but
yeah,
in this economy, hotel prices are going down, and you can get deals. And there's just absolutely wonderful Broadway shows up. I'm actually going to go see West Side Story tomorrow. I'm so excited. Yes.
Who is starring in that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know who it is, but the woman, and it's really an unknown cast. The woman who plays the Puerto Rican woman, she won a Tony on Monday night.
That just goes on and on. And
yeah.
On. Yeah, and who wrote that musical?
Well, no, I'm not a...
That's all right. I'm not giving...
I might have to turn in my gay card, but I'll call it. If I could have a lifeline for one of my gay men friends, I'm sure it'd be answered in a second.
If they would just call in and help her out.
Excuse me. It was Leonard Bernstein did
Thank
the music.
You. That's
Thank
all right.
You. And, I won't embarrass myself, but I love it.
No, it's wonderful. I think, yeah, and he did Candide, which is absolutely one of my favorite of all times. But so what have we got on the horizon? Are you working on another book, another play, another – what are you doing now?
I actually am mostly spending my time taking the book around and, you know, just promoting it. But I'm always working on new material for my shows. You know, I perform and – certainly plenty is happening. People always said, what are you going to do without George Bush? And I said, well, apparently I'll always have Dick Cheney. So there's just plenty to talk about.
There's plenty to talk about. You're never going to be without.
I mean,
Cheney isn't going anywhere.
Apparently Liz Cheney is now stepping up to fill any void that her father has left. So I'm sure I'll have enough material.
You'll do fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can laugh at the whole thing, I mean, I honestly feel like that's pretty much half the battle if we take it too serious, because it comes and goes with the wind. But I'm just crazy that Barack Obama's got it. Do you think, how much of a difference is he going to make, Kate?
Oh, I think he's already made a huge difference. You know, I think right from his brilliantly run campaign, and I was a Hillary supporter. I mostly wanted Hillary because I know she would make Bill O'Reilly's head blow up, which I thought would be lovely. But, you know, he ran a brilliant campaign, and I think he's brought all of those people and many more to deal with the problems that are that he's inherited. And, you know, I just think he's working wonderfully. And, you know, I'm prepared to be disappointed, but it is certainly enormous freedom. I feel like we were in an abusive relationship for about 8 years, so this is just lovely.
It's
wonderful. You know, we're in shock. With a lot of us, I mean, something good happens, I have this, I'm always like, oh yeah, but something bad's going to happen now. You know, it's
that's
old
about
thinking.
Like Woody Allen, I think what was it he said? If anything good happens when he gets out of bed during the day, he's pretty excited, you know. I think that may be the way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope he has success dealing with health care. It's a huge problem.
Yeah,
it's a huge worry for so many people. And, you know, in that way we seem to be like a developing country. So many countries do take the care of the health of their people. And I really like not only that he's thinking about revamping health care, but I do appreciate his emphasis on wellness. You know, we wouldn't have so many healthcare problems if we had good dieting. You know, I certainly think that his incredible wife, Michelle Obama, in the vegetable garden is a fabulous example to everybody to eat healthy. And, you know, I just think he's got a lot on his plate, if you'd pardon the pun, but I think that he's, he's got a lot of great people working with him.
He does, and I'm sure that we're going to find out. I mean, already she's been going into the soup kitchens in Washington, D.C., and feeding the homeless, and I found that really to be admirable. I don't remember Ms. Bush doing that, but
no.
She may have.
I think she was in libraries reading
the
kids. But, you know, I also just love that, you know, they have date nights.
I know.
It's so cool, you know.
It's amazing.
It's wonderful, and... You know, I think that his youth, I think it's really time for the next generation after the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs the youthful energy that he has to deal with the problems that he has. I wouldn't have wanted, you know, John McCain at whatever, that 72, nor, and God forbid, which is what we call John McCain, Sarah Palin.
No, they just weren't meant to be.
No.
John has been, you know, his whole life he's been through too much, too long, and you just wonder. But, you know, one of the things that intrigues me about you is being on Oxygen Network.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do on that with Oprah?
Well, actually, I appeared on the Oxygen show
and have
done interviews. And the Oprah show, I did a hilarious segment with three other comics, and we each were given someone who had a phobia, and they filmed us helping the person through their phobia. And mine was a woman who was afraid of riding subways. Now, mind you, she was from northern Minnesota. I don't even know why that would be a worry for her up there. So she came to New York, and we had a great time, helping her get on the subway. And she did very well. It was a wonderful woman from Northfield, Minnesota. She was a school librarian, and we still communicate. It was really fun. But it was a one show on Oprah.
And what about the Rosie O'Donnell? You
now
were a writer.
Now that I did. I was a writer on the Rosie O'Donnell show in the first year, and I was a friend of Rosie, and mm-hmm. I called her and I said, Rosie, I hear you're doing a show. I'd love to be a writer on it. And she said, really? Huh. Okay. And I've gotten a lot of okays in the business, but she was true to her word, and I was on the startup of the show. And it was just, it was really a wonderful educational experience to see how a show like that is put together. And and I stayed with it, but it's like 15 hours a day. I don't know how people do it on a regular basis, putting a show like that together.
15 hours a day.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we had to get there. I think we had to get there at like 6, because when we started it, she was going on the air at 10 live, but later... and we would write jokes, and then we'd have a writer's meeting, and she'd come to work and say, oh, my God, before you tell me the jokes, listen to what happened last night. And we'd say, oh, tell that. That's hilarious. And then we'd walk out of her room and go, well, we've just talked ourselves out of a job. Because she's just a natural.
Yeah, that's a thing. Well, you have touched pretty much on the biggest shows, Good Morning America, when you were a little girl, Kate, did you see yourself doing what you're doing, and did you have a dream and say, okay, I'm focused, I'm 5 years old, nothing's going to...
Well, when I was coming up, the options for women were nursing or teaching.
Uh-huh.
And I don't do blood, and I come from a family of teachers, so that's what I did. And I really wanted to write. So... I taught high school English for 8 years, which I really loved. I loved my kids. I was, when I think back on it, I was about 6 years older than them. But it was a great experience and very good preparation for doing stand-up comedy, because if you teach 11th and 12th graders, that is a tough crowd. And, when people say to me, when I do like two shows a night, and people go, how do you do two shows a night? I said, I used to do 5 a day for 8 years. This is easy, and I don't have to take home papers.
And you don't have to grade.
Right.
Grade anything. Because I hear these people that say, oh, well, I knew, like Wayne Dyer, the psychologist, I heard him last night on the show, and he said, oh, I knew what I was at 5 years old. And I thought, well, good for you,
Right.
Some of us do, some of us don't.
Well, I think that the way that the people are living longer, they've said that, statistics show that people actually can have 3 different careers.
Absolutely.
And, if it's a change of career by choice, it's great. If you lose a job and have to figure out something else, it's not so wonderful. But I was a high school English teacher, and I decided that I wanted to try stand-up comedy. It was really the boom years of comedy. And literally what happened was I kept talking about it, and I said it one too many times in front of my best friend, and she booked me in a club.
Yikes.
And she said, you're on in a month. I don't want to hear about it anymore. And that's how I started.
Oh, my God. So you got up by yourself, right?
By myself. But mind you, having taught high school English for 8 years, I was...
Oh, okay.
It was, now that was nerve-wracking, but the first show, it was in a club in Syracuse, and we had alerted my closest friends, so they were very supportive. As a matter of fact, one of my friends started heckling me in about 5 minutes, and I said, Rita, what are you doing? And she said, it's a comedy show, I'm supposed to heckle. And I said, well, stop it.
Okay, getting you prepared.
Yeah, I turned into a high school English teacher, stop it.
Standing up on stage, well, like you say, you're before a classroom of kids, especially teenagers, 12 and 13, so they got you going on being on stage. But Did you have performers in your family, or did you grow up with a family of artists, entertainers? Or?
No, we were a lovely middle class family from upstate New York, and my father was extremely shy, and the thought of ever having to get up in front of everybody would just, like, he'd have a heart attack. And I think the real influence on me was I had a friend in high school, and her mom was what I call my comic mom. She just always encouraged me to perform. And I was in high school, and I'd go over to their house, and they would have those wacky Christmas letters that you get from people, about what happened during the year. And she would say, okay, read this one. Now do it in a German accent. And she would make me perform. And we listened to old comedy albums together, Mike Nicholson, Elaine May, and Bill Cosby. We did all of that, she found things that were funny. So she really, really was my influence, my comic influence. My mom was very funny, but she had five kids, so she didn't have a lot of time.
A lot of time to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find so often this is what makes a performer, or if they have this horrible upbringing, but that's really not the case at all. I think, everybody's situation is different. And what would you tell, for people, because actually these shows are heard all over the world, and they can be downloaded free of charge through iTunes, through Judy Joy Jones Show, through Blog Talk Radio, all over. And I always am very, very involved with the youth, our leaders of tomorrow. So you've got some young girls and guys out there, and they're going, wait a minute, what can I do? I don't have much money. I'm over here in Africa. I'm in some village, but I'm listening to this. What would you say is the main thing? Do they need to get tough skin? How do they get going?
I think that it's to find something that you're really passionate about. My comedy is, I love to make people laugh, but I'm also interested in making social change, and that's my passion. So I think it's important to have something that you're really passionate about, and that, you're willing to put the hard work into. You're willing to really get good at it. I think what is important for everybody starting out is a willingness to just, give your time. I remember when I started out, I would just say to people, you got a dinner, I'll MC it, You just keep volunteering for things, and you make your name that way in your community, and you become known for that thing. It's like, oh, we're going to have a dinner. It could be boring. Let's have her. And you just do it as much as you can, and you follow, you study what people are doing. If, as a comedian, I just study what other people, I'm no fun to watch comedy with, I'm told, because I never laugh. I'm always like going, how'd they do that?
You're observing and trying to figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. So
but,
you're
stick with winners, and I think that, find something that you're passionate about, and also really be true to who you are. The success of what you do is really based on your uniqueness. And so I think it's really important to find out what you love to do and to be true to yourself.
Well, how did you get to your kind of brand name is Political Humorist, which is pretty much, that's got you in a certain genre, okay. So what brought you to Political Humorist?
Well, I think that after every show, my partner would say to me, well, that show is too long, but you've got to do more politics. And, my mom, when I was coming up, my mom would go right to the op-ed page and read columns, and I was always like, what about the cartoons, so now, and she did follow the politics, and, she listened to the Watergate hearings ironed in the basement in the summer, and she loved Richard Nixon, and she couldn't believe he did anything wrong, and so, she would be ironing my father's shirts for work and just, would stop and burn holes in his shirts. My father went to work that whole summer with like these brown triangles. It was like a style or something. But, you know, it's something that I have become more and more interested. I think it's really important to talk about. I think people are well able to take in a lot of information. I think what they don't have time to do is to analyze it. And I think that's the job of a political comedian, and to make it funny and make people laugh.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's a calling. Like, you know, Stephanie Miller, she's all about politics, and I couldn't imagine her doing anything else. You know, she was raised in that and whatever. And you know, it always intrigues me what puts certain people in certain genres of, and they kind of stay there, you know, throughout their career because it's your calling.
Right.
And are you going to be doing, are you writing any more one-woman shows that you're going to start on?
Well, my shows are pretty different year to year. I treat my 2 months in Provincetown as an opportunity to workshop a lot of new material. So it's sort of wonderful. I get to, you know, write by day and try something out at night. And by the end of the summer, I have a lovely new show to take on the road.
How cool is that? You know, the picture that I guess your publicist, to our agent, sent is just absolutely gorgeous. You're gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
Drop dead gorgeous. So,
thank you.
You know, do you work out to stay that way, or do you just... You were
born. Oh, I do. I know I was.
Oh, okay.
I did not. I got the nice look at a banana and gain weight gene. So, so no, it's constant vigilance. But
constant vigilance.
Really, and you know, it's just exercise. And I'm not I'm not a vigorous workout, but I do watch it.
And I think one of the things I'm picking up from you and all the people that I've had on our shows is, you know, the dream in the head, but putting that in the feet, putting it into action, which is the hard work. But it really has to come out of the head. The dream has to go into action. And, you know, someone like Gloria Allred, you know, she reminded me of somebody that she doesn't stop 24/7. She's over 80 years old, and she's still going. So I thought, yeah, oh, okay, somewhere, you know, we get our dreams, and we think, well, they'll come true, you know, Santa Claus or whatever. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, I think that what is wonderful about it is it really helps you get through hard times. You know, and, I mean, I've had my parents have died, and, you know, what helped me to get through was I just, you know, I could always turn to my work. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that is, it's a wonderful consolation if you're doing what you love, which I feel very blessed that I'm able to do what I do. You know, to be able to stand and make people laugh. I once asked my doctor, I said, do you think there's any, you know, like, will I live longer because people have been laughing at, not at me, but, you know, on me for years? He said, I don't know. Your adrenal glands really, they're neutral.
Oh, they're neutral. It's not what you want to hear.
I want to hear
you've got a good karma.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, you're going to outlast me. Okay.
Doesn't have much to do. And you know, also, you're lesbian, and you are, I guess you're with partner, right?
Yes, I am. 21
now,
years.
21 years? I didn't know that, Kate. I didn't read that anywhere. Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
Isn't
so you
that great?
Supportive. Oh, yeah. You've had someone to support you through it all. That, I mean, how can you do it without that? I mean,
I know. And we don't have any institutional support, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I meet so many, well, you know, and the thing that I find is, okay, so here these people live together entire lives, and the, you know, the heterosexual couples, they leave everything to each other, they leave, you know, and they take care of each other. What about all these people that are left out there? We've got to change that. That's got to be okay for, you know.
Exactly.
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 I mean,
for us to leave things to each other, we have to hire like 6 lawyers to figure it out. You know, I mean, I'd like to be able to marry my partner and divorce my 6 lawyers. You know, it's just like...
That's good. Okay.
You know, I think that really if we could really put up the wall between church and state and consider marriage equality as just a civil right and not some kind of sacred right, I think we would be better off.
That's true. And, you know, being in San Francisco, everything's so open and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still not equal in that, you know, the partners are often left without anything.
Exactly. Or they have to, you know, and there's just horrible stories about the family of the partner just swooping in and taking everything. So,
taking everything, absolutely.
You know.
And, you know, even though they may live well while they're, you know, and so things will change. But I want to go ahead and just take a little break and play a song by a person that was on our show a long time ago. She actually is a member of the symphony, and I was trying to debate. I think maybe what would fit more tonight would be Cindy Berryhill's When Did Jesus Become a Republican? I don't know if you've heard that, but
I haven't.
I think we'll play a little bit of this. Let me try it. All right.
When did Jesus become a Republican? I thought he was a poor man's friend. Started old feet right there in my time of need. When did Jesus turn the tables on Chandler and join the money leper selling shares of Halliburton? When did Jesus tear away the heartland from the New York Island? Start throwing stones at the helpless when you can't get health insurance. Take away the shelters for the homeless. This don't sound like you, Jesus. When did Jesus become a Republican?
I don't know how popular that will be in the White House, but I think it's quite...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
you know, it struck me as being so perfect for what's going on. You
mm-hmm.
know, all of a sudden, when did Jesus take away the homeless shelters and no health insurance? And that doesn't sound like Jesus.
No, it doesn't sound like the guy that said, you know, do unto others
as you would have them.
Mm-hmm.
Something is missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really am not, I honestly am the most ignorant person politically there is, but I do believe in kind of, you know, really reaching out to people that haven't. And, you know, I can't imagine. I guess it's really a matter of education. You know, like the Scandinavian countries, they already know what we don't know. And
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of time. Is that right, Kate?
I do think that we could use some civic education, you know, some real clear understanding of what the Constitution really is and what the Constitution says and how the government works. You know, I think that we do need to sort of buck up our civic education a bit.
Yeah, and it will come. You know, everything as other countries pour into this country, and I know for a lot, coming from Central America and South American countries, this is really a step up. This is, you know, a learning journey, and I never forget that for a moment
mm-hmm.
because those of us that were born into middle class or upper middle class, and we are used to certain things. The people that are coming into here, you know, they're really not. And I think that there are great things in store, and it's just a matter of being very, very patient as we go through our, what is it, growing pangs? And,
yeah, and
yeah.
And really working. I think that the other thing that's really critical is, a really critical learning for me was, you know, I am a part of history. And I think that people, if they get that, they become involved. And it's really wonderful. It's wonderful to be of use. It's wonderful. It's very sexy. You know, I just...
Yeah.
It's a great thing to be involved and to help other people. And, you know, like you take your skill sets and help out where you can. And I think that certainly has been a wonderful... One of the things I love about Barack Obama's website is all of the opportunities for volunteering. And people don't have an excuse anymore because I don't know what to do. You can just go on that website. It'll tell you where to hook up with people and what to do.
Yeah, Yeah, like it's like we got to, you know, we're going to become one, we're going to work together, and we're going to make it together. And, you know, there has been someone, I guess, I think they're just listening, but I don't know if they have a question for you. I'm going to just see and ask them. Hello, 954, do you have a question?
I'm listening, Judy. It's Diva JC.
Oh, my God. You know, you're not going to believe, Kate. This is the jazz diva of all time.
Wonderful.
Miss Joan Cartwright. She is incredible, and I want to introduce you to Miss Kate Clinton. You two have got to meet each other.
Wonderful.
Well, Kate, it sounds like you really, I like what you say about find out what you like to do. Do it. And stick to it,
mm-hmm.
and don't let other people sway you, you know, from who you are.
Right.
And I think that is definitely the key to life.
Absolutely, and if you do that, there's really no retirement, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It really keeps you going. I think you're challenged, you're learning new things about your chosen profession, and you're meeting people through what you do. It's a wonderful thing.
That's it, and I congratulate you on being true to yourself.
Thank you, dear. Thank you.
Joan Cartwright is true to herself. How many books have you got now, Joan?
I have 9, and I'm reaching the 10th one soon.
No,
it's coming.
Really?
Well, you know, I'm slacking.
Slacking. She's not doing a darn thing, is she?
No, you're doing fine. We power women are doing what we're supposed to do.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right. Where do you live?
I live in South Florida.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And Joan has a nonprofit now for women in jazz. What's the name of it, Joan?
Women in Jazz South Florida.
Okay, because you know, women in jazz throughout history have not been as brought out as men, have they, Joan? So we're all working on it.
But I have to say, there have been some really good female comedians,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that comedy is so important. I've always wanted to do sit-down comedy.
I probably will end up doing that.
Well, you enjoy yourself, and I'm going to continue listening to your
thank you. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. You know, the thing about Joan is that she actually was a guest on my show, and she's a jazz singer, and Joan has made several albums and everything, but she's gone all over the world, China, Switzerland, every place in Europe, and she continues to push herself. And, you know, it's like you and the Jones are such mentors to all the young women on this earth that need this. You know, to me, without the mentors, especially as women, we really are lost. I mean, I've had great mentors along the way. And
yeah, I think it's our responsibility, really. I feel if I don't have some 20-year-old in my life that's calling me asking for advice, I haven't done my job.
Yeah,
you know?
That's fine with you.
Absolutely. I'm honored, and I learn things, and I get to sound smart. Just for a few minutes. But,
there you go, okay.
I enjoy it.
You get to be a big BMOC.
Just for a little while, yeah.
Well, you know, there's so few women mentors, and that's why I'm really always honored to meet people like Joan Cartwright and you and others that I've had. I had Dr. Maya Angelou, and I got to tell you, she was one of my, you know, to me, she's just like, she's like the icon. She was the first woman streetcar driver in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I couldn't even believe it.
Wow.
I know. She's like over 6 feet tall, and she just had whatever it took. And, you know, she's worked so hard all her life.
Mm-hmm.
And, to me, it's like, oh, thank God, you know, these people are willing to share with us what it took and you know, some of the things they went through to get to where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. When did you talk to her?
She was on the show in February.
Oh,
and,
great.
Yeah, she was wonderful. It took about 6 months to get her on our show.
The people
around her, they treat her like queen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you don't get near her unless you do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. One of the main things they taught me was her name was Dr. Maya Angelou. So,
oh.
You know, I got that one real quick. And, you know, they really, really protect and love her so deeply. And I thought, gosh, what an honor
mm-hmm.
to have be, you know, to be at that age in your life and have
mm-hmm.
that much love around you.
Yes. When I saw her when one of your gals from Texas, Molly Ivins, died. She's
oh.
a wonderful, wonderful comic political voice. She wrote for The Progressive and also wrote for the Texas paper, which I can't remember right now, but and they had a memorial service for her in New York, and I went, and Maya Angelou spoke, and it was just riveting, you know. It's just,
yeah,
she's so regal and just so wonderful, and they'd had some good times together. So she, you know, was very respectful but hilarious.
She's wonderful and
mm-hmm.
such a mentor to youth. You know,
mm-hmm.
she has such positive vibrations and words to
mm-hmm.
to share with all those out there. And we have another caller. Let me see if they want to just listen or sometime. Hello, 200? Did you, hello?
Hello.
Uh-oh, I'm so sorry. Wait a minute. Let me bring him back up. Okay. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just listening in on the phone line. I'm sorry, I didn't get any sound on. I logged in.
No problem. I'm going to let you just listen. All right, that's great. You know, we can either listen through the internet or
mm-hmm.
the telephone, which really excites me because that means that anybody around the world, as long as they've got a telephone, a cell phone, and I don't care if they've even got a house, if they've got a telephone, they can pick it up and call.
That's amazing.
And the number
isn't it wonderful?
It is. It's incredible. The number is 646-929-1344. And actually, the person that started this show, Kate, his
mm-hmm.
name is Alan Levy.
Mm-hmm.
His father was dying, and on his father's deathbed, Alan was trying to blog, write, you know, all
right.
his friends, and tell them how much he loved his father and blah, blah, blah. But he said to himself, there's got to be a way I can reach more people with, you know, the love I have for my father. And that's why Blog Talk Radio started.
Wonderful. It's amazing. Really
it
is amazing.
Really
the reach is.
Is
amazing. And the way, you know, it's exactly what needs to happen. We all need to speak to each other and listen. So it's great.
You know, I would love for you to be able to let us know that, you know, the next thing you're going to do that we could. Can we go to your website?
Absolutely.
Okay, give us your website again.
It's kateclinton.com. And
all right.
Lots of information on it, but you can go to, there's an area called Kate's Dates, and it'll tell you where I'm appearing.
Oh, okay. And where are you appearing next?
I am next going to, I'm doing a couple of readings this week here in New York.
Uh-huh.
And then on the weekend, I'm going to Boston and performing at the Wilbur Theater. And
okay.
then I'm going to Chicopee in Western Massachusetts and doing a show at the Comedy Connection there.
Wow. So you're pretty much on the go all the time. Is that, do you get used to it or does it continuously kind of wipe you out or how does that work, Kate?
I'm really interested in time travel.
Oh.
And just being able to beam myself to places.
Yeah,
but
really.
There's always a problem with luggage. The travel is a bit onerous. It, you know, when the, I did a show in Orlando. And I flew on a Saturday to
mm-hmm.
Orlando on Delta Airlines. And it was like insanely crazy because there were kids on the plane who
mm-hmm.
just couldn't, they were so excited. You know, because they were going to Disney World.
Oh,
it was,
God.
And so it was just crazy. But
it was absolutely insane. Well, you know, it's part of the package.
Yep, it is.
And you know, I think Joan has something. Joan?
Yes.
Hey.
Can you hear me? When Kate said time travel,
yeah.
I just told somebody that today because she I have a house guest and she had a little bag and she says, I'm getting to this. I have two bags. I said, well, I'm waiting for Scotty to beam me up.
Exactly.
No, teleport me. Teleport me and my baggage.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you're singing, we'll go with you, Joan.
Well, Judy, I have two suitcases in Japan and
what?
Two suitcases in China because,
what?
Yeah, and I still came home with too much luggage.
No.
We have to stop this.
Joan, do you know who I saw the other night in New York do a show? Etta James.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yes. She was at, she played at, I think it was B.B. King's.
Oh, at the B.B. King Blues Club.
Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness. It was wonderful.
Wow. I bet it was. I just saw you on the internet. You are really cute.
Thank you. Beautiful, aren't you, Joan?
You're really cute. I'm kidding.
Wait a minute. You know, that's what I thought. You know, I think I know my sex, but then when I was looking at Kate, I thought, I might reconsider.
Well, no. Girl.
Okay, you said Vini out, Vidi out, Vici out.
I came
out. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's Vini, Vidi, Vici. Vini, I came, I saw, I conquered. So I said, Vini, I came out.
Mm-hmm.
Vidi,
oh.
I saw out. I conquered out.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. You keep on doing what you're doing. We are going to get transported very soon.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're going to be beamed right up. That's right. Well, Kate, you know, when you actually found out, you knew you were absolutely lesbian, what did your parents have to say about that?
Unfortunately, at the time when I came out and I was, you know, strong enough to talk to my parents about it, my mom had Parkinson's disease, which is a horrible disease, and really couldn't talk.
Mm.
And I know we would have gone around and around about it. So I just never came out to her.
Oh,
and,
okay.
But I did come out to my dad and my father, who had always been portrayed as, you know, don't tell dad that we'll kill him, or
mm-hmm.
wait till your father gets home. He was wonderful. The
okay.
only thing he said to me two things. He said, I just want you to be happy, and I want to make sure you have health care. Health insurance. I was like, okay.
Oh, okay.
And he was wonderful, and it was really an opening, because I was telling him the full story of my life. It was an
sure.
opportunity for a really deepening of our relationship, and you know, I was out to him for like 20 years of his life, and it was just wonderful. We were, you know, I always knew he loved me, but I knew it unconditionally when I, you know, had stopped putting
yeah.
conditions on it.
Without those conditions,
mm-hmm.
you know, I often wonder, who would I want by my bedside when I'm getting ready to take my last breath and
mm-hmm.
losing everything? I've got no teeth, no hair, nothing left. You know, who's going to love unconditionally? And those are the souls that I want around me. And it sounds like your dad would have been one of them.
Absolutely. I was
yeah.
there for him. He took wonderful care of my mom when she was so ill with Parkinson's. So we really, there's five kids in our family.
That disease is something. You know, my grandfather had it. Now, the one thing about him, he liked to whistle. And he would whistle, but it would all be like, you know, it would have a lot of a lot of static, or I don't know how to explain it, but that's all he did. He whistled until he died, you know, but it was just very kind of fluttery whistling. And I guess he was lucky, because
mm-hmm.
some people aren't that happy. As he played checkers, and it
mm-hmm.
would take him a while to get the checker to the next point.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that,
you know, if we'd had stem cell research, we would be much farther along in understanding this disease. So it makes
that's absolutely true. It will be a day when it's gone, but I don't know when that's going to happen. And, you know, everyone experiences some of it as you age.
Mm-hmm.
You're writing,
absolutely.
or even when you're trying to type in, like, you go to the grocery store and they want you to put in your pen name.
Right, right. It's
You know, there have been advances, but we've got more to do.
We've got more to do. That's right, Kate.
That's right.
We do. And, you know, part of being able to do it, I think, is seeing a little bit of humor about it instead of taking it so serious because, you know, there are certain things, what can we do about it? I mean, it's just part of our...
Exactly.
Part of our aging or whatever is going to happen to... What about when you were on C-SPAN? I don't know too much about C-SPAN, but I would like to know more. What was that like?
Well, it was wonderful because what C-SPAN is, it's actually two cable channels, and they, like, one of the channels covers all kinds of local or national, you know, like House hearings, Senate hearings. And they just, it's very much of a public access information thing. And
mm-hmm.
I was doing a reading, and C-SPAN came and picked it up. And another
wow.
time I did a lecture at Columbia School of Journalism, and they
mm-hmm.
were there on that, to record that and put it out. So they just are really wonderful about, you know, this was like before internet. They really were wonderful about putting up people's words.
So you've just kind of been in the right place at the right time, but you also said yes, you know, whenever
mm-hmm.
they ask you. You didn't go, oh, I just can't do it, or I'm not going to. You actually.
The only thing I've ever said no to is performing in a club with a mechanical bull. I just
what?
I had to draw the line there.
What's that? What
well,
do you
mean? Know, like, you know, there's like, well, they're big in Texas, hello, in bars.
I think I know what they are. I'm not even going to go into that. You mean you were asked to get
yeah,
on
they,
one of those?
Yeah, don't, you know, don't,
oh.
well, we've got a real, real nice mechanical bull, and I was like, I don't think I can be there. No, thank you. I have standards.
Well, you know, I can't even believe they ask you. Well, I guess they figure.
What the heck?
You're a woman.
Yeah.
You know, put her on the bowl.
Woman
rule. What
was
that show? Wasn't that Deborah Ringer? I think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. What was that?
And she got on that bowl
mm-hmm.
and rode it and everything. Yeah.
A
Remind me of Texan.
Ah, Texas.
Man. Well, you know, there is something to be said about a Texas man. They open the door for you. They'll stop and they'll help you fix your car and they'll do all that kind of thing. And sometimes I kind of miss it because out here in San Fran, you know, it's a lot different.
Yes, we're more easy. Get your own door.
Yeah, you get your own damn door, lady. And most of the guys look better than the women, so it's kind of this jealousy thing. I look at them and I damn, if only I had known how to put on my makeup at 13. Like
well, they will help you, I'll tell you.
Oh,
all you have to do is ask.
You know, when they do something, they do it.
Now, did you see that the runner-up on American Idol
mm-hmm.
has just come out?
He
announced rather unnecessarily that he was gay.
Oh, unnecessarily?
I think we all knew that.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. Who is that?
I think his name is Adam Lambert.
Good for him.
When he came out, he was all very, he was very glam. It was sort of like a Freddie Mercury look.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, there were lots of rumors, but he just came out in Rolling Stone magazine.
Rolling Stone,
mm-hmm.
of all things.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good for his music career.
Well, you know, that's true. And so many other people are kind of, you know, they're saying, who is the guy, the Star Trek guy that just got married that...
Oh, right.
Yeah, that has a funny little voice. And
you and I are great together here. It's like being at the home. Who was that? Oh, Lord, I don't
yeah.
know. But it's
well,
my whole life...
Howard Stern.
I don't remember anybody's name, but I spend my whole time describing them. You know, he's the one with the voice and, you know, it's like...
Yeah, but, you know, the whole thing is that it's time, changes are here, and we are going to be married. You know, when I look at evolution and scientists and everything we've done, I was raised by a scientist, and I figure we don't need male, female. You know, that's kind of an era gone by. I mean, you do a Petri dish, and what the hell? You know, you just don't need it. You do the what is it, the turkey baster? It's no longer needed, people.
You are a dangerous woman.
Oh, yeah, I'm a dangerous. Well, I've seen too much. But, you know, I'm looking forward to about 100 years from now when all of this will seem, huh, what are those things called human? You know,
yeah.
We'll be in museums and we're going to be humanoids or what.
My friend says, we had a giant argument about species that are going extinct. And she said, well, maybe it's for the best. And we were horrified. And she said, you have to be ready to embrace your extinction.
Oh, God. Not yet.
Not yet. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I've got
to. Yeah, well, you know, it is evolution. I'm always amazed that, but, you know, being a humanoid, I feel like if you have a kid now, you're going to make sure that they can be uploaded and downloaded and implanted and unplanted and, you know, be part of the in crowd if you have the money. And there again, that goes back to the money.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have the money. You're going to have them uploaded. You'll go to upload centers. And I won't be here. You may not be here, but it is on its way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kate, I would love you to share whatever is on your mind, your heart, your soul, whatever you want to tell the world right now. It's all yours.
Well, I would like to give you a wonderful quote from Montaigne, because I don't know about you, but I'm a worrier. And he once said that there are a lot of horrible things in my life. It's just that none of them ever happened.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's
so great.
Beautiful. They don't ever happen.
Right.
What?
Yeah. It's like they're very real, but oops, that actually never happened. So calm down, everybody.
Just
and laugh.
Let it go.
Yep.
Chill out.
Laugh and let it go.
Laugh and let it go. And we can look forward to seeing you next at?
I will next be at, I'll be doing a reading in Manhattan at the 92nd Street Y on Thursday night.
Right.
I'll be in Boston on Friday night at the Wilbur Theater, and in Chicopee on Saturday night at the Comedy Connection.
My goodness. You go. And your website is?
KateClinton.com.
KateClinton.com.
Lots of information on it and lots of interactivity. And you can also go to Kate's Dates, which is on the blog, and you can find out where I'm going to be.
Kate, thank you so much. You're beautiful. You're absolutely a gorgeous
person.
Well,
it's a pleasure talking to you.
And thank you so much. We wish you the best. And I want to tell everyone out there, especially thank you to Alan Levy, the inventor, CEO of Blog Talk Radio, and Christina Blodgett, who has often helped me co-host and been absolutely there when I needed her most, and to John Sweet, who is there. And sometimes John is an amazing person. He is really unique, but all of the people I've worked with have taught me that I am not alone, and I cannot do this alone. I've got a whole universe that I must learn to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate it. And Joan Cartwright, I love you very much. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to end the show with Let's Play. I Just Want to Play. And this is Amelia Bloom, 13-year-old singing sensation from Australia. Amelia, come back on the show.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique, and you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle it. You climb my wall, break down my door. I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for. I wanna get you out on the floor and dance until my feet are numb. Let's play.
And I wanted to
Let's
remind.
Play.
Wow, wait a minute, Amelia. I got one more thing to say. She is not gonna quit tonight. On Friday night, we are very, very privileged and honored to have Owen Hill, who is actually a mystery author, a book buyer, and he has been working for Moe's Books, which is one of the most famous bookstores in Berkeley, California, besides Cody's, which has gone out of business. He is fresh from Book Expo, New York City, and he is going to be talking about his newest book, The Incredible Double. And the main character is Clay Blackburn, who is your average bisexual book scout in Berkeley. But sometimes he's a would-be private detective whose escapades evoke readers to comment. I finished the whole book in one night. Can't wait for more. I love you.